Remember, I believe it was last week, I talked about peace. Jesus said, "Peace I give you, not as the world gives." I talked about the positive promises in John 14 through 17 and the negative aspects of them. And I had said earlier, you know, for every positive there is a negative. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you, but the world hates me, it's going to hate you." I call that a negative aspect. That's something I love about the Lord. He doesn't paint a flowery picture like I hear so many do today. It seems like I hear the gospel presented in a way, you follow Jesus and this is what's in it for you. And I think it's a bad presentation. I think in honesty, we have to talk about the positive and the negative. But today I'm talking about the positive. First off, the word peace here has several meanings, and I'll share them to you. Literally, it means one. Peace, quietness, rest, and to set at one again. So I guess it's depending on how it's used as what it's referring to. In Romans 5:1, we can pretty much assume that Paul is talking about this peace with God as being set at one with God, being reconciled to God. And I was thinking about that this week when I considered this text. And, you know, a couple weeks ago I talked about how Gnosticism rose up in the first century church. And it's still here. It is very subtly woven its way into a lot of churches today. It's just changed names. In fact, the Gnostic Wikipedia that I was reading, researching, said they didn't even call themselves Gnostics. The early Christians were at fault for that. I thought, well, it was definition of terms, you know. They wanted to know who they were opposed to. And they said Gnosticism had a Christian and Jewish beginning. And they said the mean old Christian church fathers by the second century had driven the Gnostics out of the church, banned their teaching, and burned any of the books they left behind in the church, which I think is great, but it's still here. And one of the things that they were pressing on, if you remember me talking about it, is the Gnostics said that creation is evil, the God who created this world is evil, and then there's a higher God. They worship two gods. He's the supreme being who is pure and sinless, but since the lesser God created us, we're just evil by nature. All we know is sin. But because of an intermingling between the supreme being and a, if I remember right, a goddess named Sophia, part of his image is in all of us. So we have the divine spark within us, they called it. We're all gods, basically, is what Gnosticism teaches. We don't need to be delivered from sin. We just need to be delivered from ignorance. Jesus, some said he was the supreme being incarnate, a part of the supreme being. The other Gnostics said, no, he was just a man who had learned the secret knowledge, and that's what he came here to teach us. And I told you that was some of the stuff the early church was up against. And when you know that, when you read the epistles, they make a little more sense sometimes, the way they're worded. You know, I talked about 1 John. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, the word of life that we proclaimed to you, which we touched. Because they said he was a phantom appearance. He wasn't a real man. One side. Well, today we're not talking about Gnosticism in the early church. Something a little closer to home to us, maybe. And when Paul's writing this letter, if you remember in the book of Acts, it wasn't long after the church started when they began to evangelize among the Gentiles. It's recorded in the book of Acts that certain of the Jews went to the Gentile believers and said, unless you're circumcised and obey the law of Moses, you can't be saved. And that's when Paul and Barnabas were running together. And Paul said, we had no little discussion about that. Paul and Barnabas stood their ground flat-footed and said, no, Well, it ended up going to the elders at Jerusalem, and it got kicked around. Peter finally was one of the guys that stood up and said, look, we couldn't keep the law. Our forefathers couldn't keep the law. Why do you want to put this burden on these Gentile Christians? And they finally reached an agreement and sent a letter to the Gentile churches. And they said, number one, we didn't send them guys. Number two, we do not expect you to be under the law of Moses. We're all under Christ, is what they were saying. They said, just abstain from sexual immorality and food offered to idols. And they also asked that they would remember the poor. And the Gentiles rejoiced. But when you think about it, what was wrong with the law? I've had people over the years ask me, do I believe that the Ten Commandments are still morally binding on us today? And I say, well, sure, God hasn't changed. The same God that said not to lie then still does not want you to lie. The same God that said don't steal then still says don't steal. He hasn't changed his mind. But this wasn't necessarily what they were trying to introduce into the church. In fact, when the early church fathers talked about it, they said, look, Moses is read every Sabbath in the synagogue, i.e., these Gentile Christians can go to synagogue on Saturday. They had to sit behind the veil with the women, but they can go hear the law of Moses read. That was the only Bible they had. But Paul said, what they're trying to do is to bring you under a bondage that none of us could handle. None of us Jews could handle. You remember he rebuked Peter for eating with Gentiles at Galatia until some of the brothers from Jerusalem come down that said he pulled away. And Paul rebuked him to his face. I'll tell you what, I bet brother Peter wasn't happy about that. Paul didn't take him off to the side and say, now look, Peter. Peter did it in front of all of them, so Paul called him to the carpet in front of all of them. And I heard a preacher preach a message on that one time, and I liked it. I remember he said, Paul got him off, said, is that ham on your breath? You know, I just love that illustration that Peter was eating with Gentiles, and then he pulled away because the Jews showed up. But there was this problem going on in the church, and it caused a lot of trouble and a lot of debate. And I've told you before that something that came out of this letter to the Romans, Paul spends the first four chapters explaining to the Jewish Christians in the church at Rome, nobody is going to be justified by the law of Moses. He said God did away with that law because he had a better plan through Jesus Christ. And when you think about it, these people thought that if we keep these rules, that's going to make us righteous. And ever since Genesis, the record of Abel and Cain's offering, two men bringing offerings to God, and God accepted one and rejected the other. In Genesis 5, it says, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. What I understand from the Hebrew commentaries, it means they begin to invoke God. They begin to say, God, what do you want from us? What do we need to do? What can we do to restore the fellowship that we've lost? But evidently, they weren't willing to listen because only Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives survived. So, I mean, in one sense, it says men were seeking God, but in the other sense in the word, they were doing their own thing. And now, today what we're talking about is here's these Christians and these other well-meaning Christians coming to them and saying, well, you really can't please God unless you keep this set of rules. Now, don't think that I'm saying there's no set of rules that Christians need to follow. This book's full of do's and don'ts for the Christian. But I'm saying that they were not confident in just Christ alone. You know, Paul said we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. I don't have to try to earn peace with God. I have it. Because I'm a good guy? Nope. Man, I'm a dunderhead. You know, it's only by God's grace that I can call myself a Christian. But I have peace. That's something it took me a few years to figure out, of striving and trying to earn that position. And the Lord saying, I did it on the cross. You can't earn that. You have peace with me because I'm the one that made peace. And something that was going on in the early churches, they had people coming in, some well-meaning, some deceivers, saying, well, if you really want to have peace with God, you got to do this. We got to add extra to the cross of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. I don't know how many people in the years that I've been a Christian, especially in ministry, I've talked to and maybe invited them to church and they'd say, well, I got some issues I got to work out of my life. But when I get these issues right, I'll be in church. Well, then you ain't coming to church. What makes you think you got to work out these issues before you can come to church? Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Well, yeah, but, you know, they probably don't want anybody like me there. I had one guy tell me, well, the roof's liable to cave in. I said, I've been extrication trained. If the roof falls in, we'll try to get you out. You know, another guy said, well, the seat might burst into flames. I said, well, then we'll get a fire extinguisher. You can sit with that in your lap. The thing is that people were saying, I have to make this peace with God. I have to come to this standard before I ever come into the church. No, you don't. That's like telling somebody, if you just quit doing this, you'd get saved. Boy, I've heard that. If you quit them cigarettes, God might save you. You quit smoking that marijuana, God might save you. There's nothing in the scriptures that says that. Nothing. You can't earn that. When Jesus' men asked him who could be saved, what did he say? With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, I'm not advocating these things, but I'm saying that if we present the gospel in such a way to people, it's going to turn them off. Well, good night, I'll never be able to be saved. I told you in my testimony, that little preacher showed up at my house. I was a drug dealer and everything else that was immoral. And he just flat come in and said, I'm here to tell you about Jesus because he loves you and I love you and I want to share Jesus' love with you. And I said, I don't want to hear it. He told me anyway. He said, I want to pray for you. I said, I don't want you to pray for me. And he prayed for me anyway. And that's what stuck with me. He didn't say, you dirty, no good, rotten sinner, you need to clean up. Maybe God will save you. He brought an offer to me that Jesus Christ had done everything for me on the cross. Now, I'm not a real big fan of Max Lucado, and I don't want to upset anybody, but there's one thing he said that I agreed with in his book, Just Like Jesus. He said, God saves you just the way you are, but he has no intention of leading you that way. I like that. And in the church, there's these Christians that's come out of pagan philosophies, pagan rituals, pagan worship, all kinds of horrendous lifestyles, sinful lifestyles, and they've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. But some people come in behind the apostles and said, yeah, but you really got to earn that. You know, the cross isn't enough. Here's these rules you need to follow. Now, is there rules for Christian conduct? Yes, there is. This book's full of them. There's also the Holy Spirit. I liked one thing Phineas Brzee said. He was a preacher. He said, you preach the gospel, let the Holy Spirit deal with our habits. Don't we do that in the church sometimes? When I first got saved, I was so full of zeal. Oh man, I love the Lord. I knew what I was. I knew what he had done in my life. And I bounce into church, you know, and I just want to fellowship with God's people. You know what the first thing they mentioned was? You really ought to get a haircut and look more like a Christian. And I looked up and they had a picture of Jesus hanging on the wall and he had long hair and sandals. I said, well, I guess he wouldn't be welcome here either. We don't mean to do that. But I already had peace with God. They were trying to tell me if I really wanted to have peace with God, I need to get a haircut, clean up a little bit, you know, and look more like a Christian. Well, what's a Christian look like? That was my question. Man, I had peace. I still got it. 37 years later, I still got peace with God. Not because I feel like it all the time, but because that's what he told me. I've been set at one with God. I don't have to earn that. Well, you got to work to keep it. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what it says. I'm to follow Jesus Christ. Okay? So are you. But when we approach people, Peter said, be ready to give an answer. That's the answer. It's not religion. It's not the way you dress. It's not the way you look. It's not about your habits. It's about the fact, do you know Jesus Christ? Are you at peace with God? You know, I worked with the druggies for a while here, that one program. I understood them. They were looking for peace. But you know, Jesus said, the peace I give you is not as the world gives you. They promise you peace, but it's death. There's no peace in it. We look in relationships. Boy, if I could just have her, or if I could just be with him, man, I'd be happy. What happens when you get with her and him? You ain't happy. You know, Cinderella turns back into the ugly stepsister and your handsome prince turns back into a frog and you're thinking, what in the world? What was I thinking? Because there's no peace in that. There's no peace in religion. There isn't a. There's some religions, pray five times a day, do good deeds, do alms. What's the scripture say? God says, your righteousness at best to me is like filthy rags. And the word there is unclean. Any rag that was used for a menial, unclean purpose was immediately discarded. You didn't even touch it. Because the rag became unclean from touching whatever it was unclean. And God said, that's what you look like to me at your best. Unclean rags. No wonder Paul said to us, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge another, yet you do the same things yourself. Boy, I've learned to eat crow. It's easy to judge people. I've shared this before. I just can't understand how somebody cannot believe the good news of Jesus Christ. That's hard for me to get my mind around. How can you not understand this? But then I see within all of us, well, I got to earn it. You know, I got to do my part. I got to be worthy. Well, you ain't ever going to get there. I ain't there. I've been saved by God's grace. What I did do was accept his offer of salvation. This world needs Jesus Christ. They need the cross. They don't need our doctrines. And I'm not putting down church doctrine. I'm a firm believer in doctrine. They don't need our theology. They need Jesus. Yeah. Jesus didn't say, go and make theologians. Go and make Baptists. But that's how we read the Bible. You know, repent and be Baptist, for all have sinned and fallen short of the assemblies of God. I'm sorry, that's how a lot of Christians look at the Scriptures. That's not what we're called to do. Now, I heard a good message by a minister this morning, and he got down about how God had disciplined the church he's the pastor of and said, humbled us. Said, you're just like the Laodicean church. I'm about ready to spit you out of my mouth. When are you going to stand up for the truth? The church has to do that. Not compromise with the world. We're not called to compromise. We're called to be ready to give an answer, Peter said, of anyone who would ask us for the reason of hope in it. Well, then we need to live like people of hope. Praise God, I have peace with God. I don't have to earn that. I've already got it through Jesus Christ. People are trying to earn salvation. You don't earn that. It's a gift. Now, what's your part of it? You repent, as the Word says. You confess to God that you are a sinner, that you are lost. You got to line up with Him. I didn't get saved at church, and I know why. Because I confessed my sins out loud, one by one, as I could remember them, and it took a while. And over the years, I've had things come up in my mind. I still confess. Now, is that because I'm trying to earn my salvation? No, it's because when they come up, I'm a different man than I used to be. And those things that I thought was no big deal, they're a real big deal. And I can look back on my past and think, how did I ever think like that? How did I ever not notice these things? How could I look so lightly on it, you know, and think no big deal? Jesus Christ is in the job, the business of changing hearts. You know, I said about rules, Paul told the Thessalonians, let the thief steal no more, but let him do honest work with his hands so he can be able to provide for those who are in need. That's what Jesus Christ does. The taker becomes the giver. He is in the business of changing lives, church. That's what we need to be showing people. We need to be living in a way that, not that they come up and say, boy, you sure are holy, but they can come up and say, what's up with you? How can you walk around with a stupid grin on your face when all this chaos going on in the world? I didn't have time to watch the news today, but I knew in the first 5 minutes I'd be mad if I did. They are using hysteria to control us, this country. They're going to be shutting churches down again, I guarantee you. If you don't take this vaccine, don't wear a mask, we're not going to let you meet and have religious studies. Well, pity that. I'm not controlled by that. And I'm not trying to be defiant and rebellion. I'm saying I'm not worried about COVID-19. When it comes time for Rick to die, I'm going to lay down and die. And it doesn't matter to me if it's COVID or a heart attack or getting hit by a car or what it is. When it's time to go, I'm going to go. And until then, you can't kill me. That's not an invitation to start taking pot shots at me. I'm just saying that I believe that. You know, I also believe I have peace with God. You have peace with God if you've come to Him through Jesus Christ. You have peace with Him. You don't have to try to earn that. And our enemy will tell us that. You know, some of the Gnostics taught that since you are a sinner, you need to shut yourself off from the world and take cold baths, don't get married, fast, eat only certain foods, and hope that you die quick so maybe you get a chance to go back to the Supreme Being. And Paul said, no, Jesus Christ made peace by the blood that He shed on His cross. See what I'm saying? Sometimes it's our fault, church, that we put out a negative attitude of what it means to be a Christian and people don't want to get saved. Good night, I don't want to get saved if I got to act like you. I've had people tell me, well, I'm not going to give up my beer and my cigarettes, and nobody's asking you to. Nobody's asking you to do that. I can't make somebody see they're a sinner, but that's what God's saying. Realize that you are lost. A friend of mine always said, you're lost as a ball in tall weeds. That's lost. We're lost until we come to Christ. We were darkness. Paul said, now we're light. Live as children of light. You don't have to be a theologian to share your testimony. You don't have to memorize 4 or 5 books of the Bible. Just tell people what Christ is doing in your life and what He's done. Some of them won't listen to you. They'll make fun of you. They did Paul, they did Jesus, they did the other disciples. Well, that's fine. My responsibility ends there. You share the gospel. I'm not responsible whether people want to believe it and accept it or not. But I can tell people that peace you're looking for, you can only find through Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you don't do anything to earn it. It's all God's doing. I'll tell you what, when you study, especially the epistles of Paul, Galatians, Romans, those are the two main ones that deal with the law and righteousness. Great reading. And the way Paul lets the church know, no, you don't have to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said, you've been justified and you have peace with God. It's not something we work at. It's a gift. Remember that next time you're looking in the mirror and you start getting kind of down on yourself. I'm not excusing sin. Christian, if you got sin in your life, you confess it, forsake it, God will forgive it, and you go on. That's another promise we have in the Scriptures. But you don't have to earn peace with God. He's already done that. He's the one that made the conditions of peace. Your part, as I said, is you receive that. I'm not talking name it and claim it. You acknowledge it. God, you're right and I'm wrong. I'm lost and I need a Savior. And when we meet that, then God says, now we're at peace again. It's all God. God bless you, church.